Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our first scripture comes from 2 Corinthians 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given amongst the churches of Macedonia. For in the severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this is not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. 2 Corinthians 9, the point this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, as it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever.
Let us pray.
Father, we thank you for this morning that we are here to hear your word about generosity. We thank you, God, that how you continue to empower us, you enable us to have that giving spirit, even though times are hard. So Lord, I ask that through me, that let it be your words that come straight from the throne room, and allow my family here to hear you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Alrighty, sorry about that. Let's go for, I usually go for the some sort of effect to just to add a bit of color to what we're talking about today. But first of all, can we all please say a big hello to one of our dear friends who has come all the way from New Zealand and is here visiting us, and her name is Savalina, who's sitting right here. Say, hi, Savalina! Yeah, she didn't like that. She didn't expect that. But hey, Savvy, thanks for swinging in and checking in to make sure that what I'm talking about is from the Word of God, but not the Word of Norman. All right. How's everyone doing this morning?
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay. We've had a pretty cool 5-6 weeks of our last series, A Light in Babylon. And today, I get the privilege of kickstarting our new series. Usually I'm organized, but today something's happening. Oh no, here we are. Here we are. Okay, so our new series today, which is The Generosity Effect. Okay, and so the title of the message today is The Generous Heart. Which is why I'm coming straight out the gate, guys, with this question. To give or not to give? That is the question. I know some of you are laughing because that really ain't the quote. You know it as to be or not to be. That is the question. And that quote is from Shakespeare's play Hamlet, a well-known play that's the writer Shakespeare wrote. And so I've just played around with this quote. And so this question here is pretty confronting, you have to admit, right? And especially this time in the morning. Because let's be honest, the times that we live in are a bit of a struggle. Inflation just keeps climbing up. Those things are climbing, even though our jobs, the income that we receive, only climbs up a little bit, if we're lucky. And so with that said, what can also play in our own minds is, when it comes to this area of giving, to the church, that's when you ask, to give or not to give. And so, in the opening chapter that Easter read of chapter 8, the Apostle Paul begins to talk about the churches in Macedonia, which is northern Greece, and that would encompass the churches of Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. So those churches that Paul had planted earlier, and now he is talking about these churches, so as to brag about them to the people of Corinth, about what had happened among those churches, and making mention of the support or the giving from the people of those churches for the believers of Judea. I'm just going to give you a bit of a backdrop to this story, to what Easter had read. There had been a severe famine which had come upon the land, and the believers were pitching together whatever they had, putting together a relief offering for the people of Judea. The whole thing of coming together, rallying together to send support, is nothing new. These people came together to put a relief offering according to their ability to help and meet a need. I'm reminded of our community group, Silverbacks, for those of you who know Silverbacks. It's a community group, which is another arm of our church. And so these guys, they're all part of our church here. And they're amazing what they do in the community. And there have been several times where people have had a need. People have come to our leadership there of Silverbacks, or they have gotten word of what's happening in the community or what's happening to this particular or to families. And so they're able to rally together the community using health and fitness as a way to help bring funds together, bring resources together to help support a need. It wasn't that long ago as well when our church here, we were able to do the same for a family who had a need as well. We were able to pull resources and funds together to help support their need at the time. And like I said, this kind of thing isn't a new thing. Pulling the community together to help one another. And they were doing it because of a famine. We're talking about the people of Macedonia. And this famine was predicted through a spirit. And we read about it in the book of Acts. Now these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine all over the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to this ability, to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And that was something that they did. Paul is talking about how the Macedonian church had gathered support for doing that. And you might be thinking, yeah, that's nothing special about gathering relief or support, as people do it all the time. Yes, you're right. But if we just hang for a little bit, if we just hang out for a bit, because if you look a little bit deeper into these verses, I think you will see that actually what happened in these circumstances was not ordinary, but it was extraordinary. And let's have a look at verse 1. As we start to unpack these verses a bit more, and you will begin to see, I promise. We want you to know, brothers, verse 1 of chapter 8, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. Please notice here that Paul doesn't begin this statement by saying, brothers, guess what? I want you to know how cool these people in Macedonia are. Man, these churches in Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, these guys, they knew how to come together. They really did something. He didn't continue down that road and put tickets on these guys or on these people or brag on them. No, that's not what he had done. What he really said was, he begins by saying, We want you to know about the grace. That's how he begins. In fact, we're going to see here that God's grace is the focus of what Paul is saying in these verses. But he says here, I want you to know what the grace of God, about the grace of God. Now, the grace of God was something that had been bestowed to the believers in Macedonia, and it had a result. And the result of the grace of God that was bestowed on the believers in Macedonia was that they gave a donation towards the relief effort that was going on because of the famine. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Normally, we don't make a big deal about this effort, but about the people making a donation. Because, you know, you just think, oh, yeah, it's just ordinary. And what? But there is something special, something different that is being communicated to us here that Paul mentions in the next verse. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. As you can see, I've emphasized a couple of words there on what I think are key words in this verse. I want you to lay a hold of them. And so when you look at this verse, four key words are found: affliction, joy, poverty, and generosity. Now, what do these words have in common? I don't know. I was hoping someone will tell me. But if we were to group some words together, they did have something in common. I would probably group together affliction and poverty. When people are afflicted with difficult times, sometimes poverty is very much a part of that. We can see and understand how these two words would be in the same sentence. And if the last two were grouped together, joy and generosity, we get that too. When there is overflowing joy, as Paul calls it, sometimes generosity comes out of that, and that's very cool. So you can see that affliction and poverty have something in common, and joy and generosity have something in common as well. But really, affliction has nothing in common with joy and generosity, right? And poverty has nothing in common with joy and generosity. And yet Paul uses these four words together that don't go together or are contradictory. He's using them together, and he says to you and I, in a severe test of affliction, let me remind you what affliction means. It means something that causes pain or suffering. So what he's actually saying is, in a severe test of pain or suffering, this is an awful time of tribulation, family, an awful time of distress, an awful time of anguish and trouble. And yet, what emerged out of this was joy and generosity. Family, I just want to encourage you that for when the power of the Holy Spirit is invited into our worst challenges, our toughest battles, our deepest pain, the results are amazing. The results are incredible because it allows you and I, it enables you and I, it empowers you and I to live in a manner that exceeds our human ability. It transcends our human limitations, right? I want you to notice this in verse 3 and 4. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. I don't know where this gift came from that They were able to give not only according to their means, but they were able to give beyond their means because they were in dire poverty and they were under such distress that they gave of their own accord. This was their idea. Hello? It was the people of Macedonia's idea to give. Paul didn't present this idea to the churches in Macedonia because he knew how distressed they were. He knew how much poverty had ravaged this area. And he didn't even bring it up. He said by their own accord that they not only brought it to themselves, but they begged us, verse 4, to give, to get involved. They begged us earnestly to give. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. Now, what Paul is talking about here is he's talking about the priority of our giving. When he says that they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us, he's saying simply that they had committed their lives, that they had committed their hearts first and foremost to the Lord, that they had given their lives into the hands of God. And so after that, they were now able to give freely of themselves to helping with these relief efforts that were going on in Jerusalem. But the reason why they were free to do it was because first they realized we belong to God. We belong to the Lord. And all that we have, all that I have, all that I am, belongs to the Lord. It belongs to Him. My first point is, generosity starts with God and sending His Son to give Himself for us. I haven't got this quote up, but trust me when I say this, we'll Google him. G. Campbell Morgan, he's a British evangelist, and he says, contributions to the work of the Lord are only valuable as they are the gifts of those who are themselves yielded to God. Or if I put it in another way, and go even a little bit further to say that they are the gifts of those who are themselves gifts to God. So what Paul is saying and what G. Campbell Morgan is expressing is that because the people of Macedonia first yielded themselves to God, the gift was now a work of His grace because they understood that they belong to God and everything that they have belongs to God. When you don't have that priority of understanding, do you know what happens? Any giving you do is, that's my stuff. Why would I want to give my stuff to the church? Why? Everything is about, it's mine. Why? Why should I share? Why should I share? And you know, at the same time, you feel like all hot and bothered about this giving. Always giving my money, your hard-earned money. Or maybe it's not just your money, it's your time and other resources that you have. Do you know what happens when a person or when you come to the realization that everything they are, everything you are, that they have belongs to God. It's His stuff. I'm no longer giving my stuff. I'm giving God's stuff. And it's a privilege. And it's a favor. Do you understand that the Macedonians, they begged Paul to let them help. Please, they said, please, let us do this. Their joy overflowed because first, they gave themselves to God And they knew and understood, all I have and all I am belongs to God. It belongs to Him. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. The Bible says that you were purchased by the blood of Christ. He bought you. He bought me. He bought and paid for you and me. And now we belong to Him. My final point. Macedonia was impacted by the gospel so much that it was natural to give sacrificially to advance the gospel back towards Jerusalem, where it started. You know, this is grace. This is grace that goes beyond our human ability. Because these people didn't just give. They gave out of poverty. They weren't just joyful. They were joyful in the midst of affliction, in the midst of trials, difficulty, and pain. It was through that that those things came ushering forward. Paul is talking about a grace that enables, a grace that empowers. So when Paul says, I want you to know, brothers, about the grace that came upon the Macedonian believers in their giving, he's talking about a grace that enables them to give beyond their means. When God's grace is on you to do something, it's not hard. It's a delight. And that's how the churches of Macedonia could be afflicted and in dire poverty, yet be pumped beyond imagination at the opportunity to give of their finances. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 9. The point is this, like what Easter read earlier, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Verse 7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. There have been many a times where we've pretty much lived this part of what we're talking about. And it's, I guess for us to, when I say us, I'm talking about Eastern, my children. But a memory of when we first started coming to church. Because we were going to church anyway, and this area of giving, I couldn't get my head around it, because all I remember seeing was that you'd give cents. I mean, you give whatever you had left over, right? I'm not sure if any of you familiar with that or if you ever done that. Maybe it was just me, but hey, that's cool, because I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. But here we are. And so anyway, I saw giving through my parents, and my generation of people who, they, you know, they see the negative part in that, because, and I saw it too, but then God had showed me that it was the love that they had, that the ability that they had to give, right? Because the thing, and I'm sure Pinoy family is like this too, but Samoans, man, when we give strong, you know, we give whatever we have, and whatever's left over, that's all we're ended up with. But here, we just read in Scripture that, you know, God doesn't put an amount on of what you have to give. He doesn't put a dollar sign. There's a percentage in there somewhere in Malachi where he talks about where you only give 10%. And that there, it messed with, well, it didn't mess with me, but it made me think, okay, so if we're only supposed to give 10%, and I'm not really a math dude, right? And so I was thinking, okay, let's just round this up, Levy. $100, okay, 10. Oh, $10, that's a lot of money for me, you know what I mean? But then let's just hypothetically say that, you know, the amount was about, say, 1,500, just to round it off. 1,500, eh, Levi? 1,500 equates to 150. Thank you, Levi. And I'm thinking, oh, 150. Do you know what I can do with 150? Do you know what I can do with 150? Exactly. There is so much I can do with that amount. But we just read here. Because when you give yourself to the Lord first, everything else, you shouldn't have to worry. I mean, okay, please don't quote me on this. There will be times where you find challenges. Yes, I get that. We all go through them. Even now. But the people in Macedonia, they were going through like famine. They were afflicted with poverty. Yet, they begged. They begged Paul to give. They still wanted to give. All I want you is just to catch is this. In times of hardness, who do you trust most? Who are you trusting? Now, going back to our family, that was a hard amount to give. Yet we did it. We did it because not only did we want to obey, but also we wanted to test God. If everything you say, God, everything you say, that you will help us through our situation. You know what? Here it is. I'm trusting you. I'm urging you, church. Trust in Him. Trust in Him in these times where everything is being blown up. And yet, when you look at what you have left, I was talking to a young man the other time, and we were talking about, you know, in this area of giving as well. And so we've come to the conclusion that when you give first, before you pay everything else, all those things will be taken care of. So, with that said, have you ever experienced the kind of grace from God that enables you to do something that is beyond your limitations? I'll give you a couple of minutes to quickly discuss with your neighbor.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.